Never a dull moment. That's my favorite thing about doing this job. There is never a dull moment, and that applies to what we saw, what we heard, what we reacted to over the weekend. A Friday news dump, if you will, when the Dallas Cowboys and the San Francisco 49ers pulled off a trade at quarterback. What? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, ALaw Radio, also on our Facebook page, named after the show, super easy. Here's the deal. Once we get to NFL Sundays, we are all in. All gas, no breaks, if you will. 4 hours of nothing but NFL. That's our pledge to you. We promise to get to every single game, especially early in the season, because every single game has major implications. So we're gearing up. We're getting ready. We've got just one empty Sunday left with no NFL. And over the next couple of days, teams have to get their rosters down to the appropriate size, the appropriate numbers, and of course, start their game preparations for week number one. Trey Lance is now a member of the Dallas Cowboys. Well, that was a big deal on Friday night. Let's welcome Jennifer Lee Chan from NBC Sports Bay Area, longtime 49ers insider. The Trey Lance chapter is closed, Jennifer. He's done. He's gone. What's your reaction to his trade to Dallas?
Just from a human standpoint, I'm bummed for Trey Lance because he didn't really get a fair shot in San Francisco. And I think as a number 3 overall pick in the draft, it's just there's so much pressure. And he just got bad break after bad break, literally with his finger, his rookie year, and then his foot the second year. Now he's finally healthy. And Brock Purdy is the guy who is the one to beat. And, you know, he's shown that he can be a winner. So it's just tough for Trey Lance because all the pressure on him. And I think no one really knows what his potential, his full potential is, because he hasn't been able to show it. Always wish him the best. And I think, you know, maybe it'll be a good opportunity for him just to turn over a new leaf. I think he's a great guy. He's a good locker room guy. I don't think anyone has anything bad to say about him from the 49ers organization, other than the fact that he just couldn't beat out those two guys to be the starter or the number 2.
At what point did you realize this was a distinct possibility?
It came down to the fact that it started looking like in the first 2 preseason games that Sam Darnold had a better grasp and was less hesitant. And even though Trey Lance was given a good shot, that, you know, he was tentative. There was one drive that was really good at the end of the Broncos game where he threw 6 passes complete in a row and was great. And he looked like he was making decisions well, but through 2 preseason games for that last drive to be the one that really stood out and looked like he was actually finally getting the groove of things. You know, I don't know if that's enough to beat out Sam Darnold, who, while, you know, his sample is size is huge, it might not be the best, but, you know, he's got so much more game experience. I think that made a big difference.
The last time that you and I spoke, Jennifer, he was confident. He was more comfortable. He was finally healthy. Mm-hmm. When you think about these last couple months, what happened to him in terms of competing with Sam?
I think it's just with Sam Darnold having so much more NFL experience, college experience, Trey Lance, I think, was a little bit tentative when he got on the field in a game. And you think about how much time he has in real game experience. He only had 1 year at North Dakota State, which is, you know, they dominated every team they played. And whereas Brock Purdy, Sam Darnold had a lot of college experience. They both have a lot of snaps under their belt. I think that makes a big difference when you get, you know, under the big lights. He just looked like, while he was healthy and confident in practice, I think also when guys are coming back from injuries like that, there is a hesitation. We've talked to so many guys who've come back from ACL injuries or Achilles injuries, and it takes them a while to get their feet back underneath him. And I think maybe that was part of it. Obviously, we didn't talk to him exactly about what his confidence level was. He said he was fine. But I think it's always different when the lights are on and you're in front of, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, millions of viewers per se. And it just kind of gave him a little pause. But he started to look good towards the end of that second game, preseason game against the Broncos. So I just hope it continues for him.
We're spending a few minutes with Jennifer Lee Chan, who's the Niners beat writer for NBC Sports in the Bay Area, as their quarterback story takes yet another turn. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So we'll talk about Brock Purdy. But this was a guy that both Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, they agreed, they moved up to get. Is this them admitting a mistake?
both of them said during this past weekend after the trade happened that, you know, hey, we believe in him. We still believe in him, but they took their shot and it just didn't work out. Maybe Trey Lance's story, I just don't think it's done yet. It may just be done with the 49ers. And I think that if Brock Purdy hadn't played so well, I think things would be completely different. They may have still gotten Sam Darnold, but maybe Trey Lance would be the starter again. I mean, they gave him the starting position last year at the beginning of 2022. He was going to be the starter until he got hurt. So they have a lot of confidence in him. I think they realized that if he was a raw talent, that he was going to take a lot of coaching. But, man, the finger injury that happened in the preseason game of his rookie year really set him back a lot. I mean, he wasn't able to straighten his finger all the way, and you need that index finger in your throwing hand to throw a football, and he didn't have it. It totally messed up his mechanics. He had to learn how to throw with his middle finger being the last thing to touch a football, and I think that really hampered his growth. And, you know, just so many different things happened to lead him to the path of being a Dallas Cowboy, which is so, so bizarre, really.
Yes.
You think about all things. Of all teams, the Dallas Cowboys. Just a kind of a tornado of events that happened that set him on this path, which, you know, hopefully it ends up being a good one for him, but it just didn't work out with the Niners.
Okay, so then Trey Lance, as you point out, is on another team now, and I agree, hoping the best for him, that he does get a shot in which he can prove himself, but it's moving forward with Brock. How does Brock look? We're just days away from the start of the actual NFL season. Games that count.
Yes, that's crazy, right? He looks great. He looks like he did last year, maybe a little even, you know, better, but he's very measured. He's, you know, he's got his timing down. He's confident. He sees, you know, what he's supposed to do out there. He's making good decisions. He's also letting it rip. I mean, he has thrown some interceptions in practice, which Kyle Shanahan is, you know, you never want a guy to throw an interception, but the fact that he's taking risks and, like they said, letting it rip, he's not being, conservative. He's taking risks to make big plays, and it's paid off, you know, here and there and a few interceptions, but he'd rather have him get it out of his system now than later. But I mean, Brock Purdy is the leader of this football team, and it's crazy for him to be, you know, 23 years old, to have so much star power on this offense, and they all just, they love him and the way he is a leader. And I mean, even what Brock Purdy said about Trey Lance, you know, they spoke before Trey Lance left. Before that last preseason game and said, hey, man, I love you and wish nothing but the best for you. And he said that the reason he is where he is in large part due to Trey Lance and his openness and his, you know, sharing of wisdom while he was the starting quarterback and while Trey Lance was recovering from his foot injury last year.
It would be such an aberration, at least since Kyle and John got to the Bay Area, if they could get through an entire season with one quarterback. Even two, Jennifer. For goodness sakes, they've had a revolving door since those two guys took over and got to the Bay Area. Somehow they've managed to survive without it, but it's not been a staple of their tenure.
It's crazy how many quarterbacks they've had under center. It's been largely due to injury. And it's not because, I know Kyle Shanahan has gotten a bad rap amongst fans for putting quarterbacks in harm's way, but honestly, it's been random fluky accidents that have happened that have caused guys to be injured and then out for an extended period of time. I mean, no one can blame Kyle Shanahan for, you know, Trey Lance's foot being stepped on or ankle being twisted. I've always said that part of teams making it deep in the playoffs is a little bit of luck because injuries make a huge difference in how a team performs.
So if we're not talking about quarterback, if that's stable, what are the expectations for this offense, Jennifer?
I think they're pretty high, but, you know, another big question on their roster right now is on special teams. The guys who always are out there putting points on the board, the kickers, they've got both kickers. That they have two kickers, which is weird for one, that on their 90-man roster. They're going to have to do cut down. Both of them are out with injury. So Jake Moody strained his quad last week in practice. And then during warm-ups, oh, cool, they have a second kicker. Well, Zane Gonzalez strains his calf muscle, and he's out for more than a week. So he's out for weeks. So both of them are questionable for week one in Pittsburgh versus the Steelers. So they may have to go out and grab another kicker on a temporary basis and until these guys are healthy.
Of course, there has to be an Achilles heel. What's the mood, the attitude, maybe the feel as they get so close to their season opener?
You know, I think it's really positive. I think they've got, you know, a lot of their star players, again, that supporting cast around Brock Purdy. It's so, I mean, you look at who they have. I mean, Christian McCaffrey, I think if you're a fantasy football player, that's the guy that you want to take at the top, because he's not just going to run the ball. He's also going to catch passes. So if you're in a PPR league, that's who you get, because Christian McCaffrey is going to be a huge part of this offense. But then, you know, you also have Deebo Samuel, who said, I'm never going to put anything on film like I did last year. So he's set to have a huge season. And Brandon Ayuk is playing for his next contract. So you've got all these guys who are really just ready to go, not to mention George Kittle, Kyle Juszczyk, and a really good offensive line. So that offense is really good. I think the big thing now is getting Nick Bosa signed to a contract, because that is going to be a huge deal maker or breaker for this team.
Well, I'm glad you brought it up. That's where I was going. Jennifer Lee Chan of NBC Sports Bay Area with us here after hours, CBS Sports Radio. What is the latest with the contract negotiations between the Niners and Nick Bosa?
I did hear from someone pretty high up in the organization that talks are heating up. So there is a lot more communication, which is interesting, because that essentially means that there was not a lot of communication before. So things are ramping up communication-wise. John Lynch spoke about it in his press conference over the weekend that, you know, he thinks it'll be done by week one. But you know, you always wonder, how long does a player need to be in football shape? Because Nick Bosa obviously is always in great shape, but being in football shape is different. Taking hits, he never has played in a preseason game since he's been with the 49ers, but he's practiced against Trent Williams, practiced against, you know, the offensive line. So at least you're taking, you know, he'd be taking hits. His body would be moving in odd ways, just because that's what happens in football. The thing that, you know, kind of worries everybody just a little bit is those soft tissue injuries that happen when guys haven't played football in a long time.
Right. Is it purely money, or is there something else?
There's no word about what this dispute is. I would think it's money, because he's going to be paid a ton. I mean, just a huge amount of money. I think he said that it, you know, not necessarily the goal to be the highest paid player outside of, you know, a quarterback, but you know that with how well he's played and being the defensive player of the year last season, that's really what he deserves. He's really young. He's got a lot of football in front of him. He's incredibly talented. I would say that between him and Christian McCaffrey, who are the most talented players on the team, it's kind of a toss-up.
Even if Nick Bosa is not on the field, what are the strong suits on the defensive side of the ball?
Oh, I think it's Fred Warner for sure. And you know, you look at the defensive front, Eric Armstead, and the fact that they got Javon Hargrave in the middle there. I think that the defensive front is great with Nick Bosa there. It could, you know, it's more elite. Now Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw, the linebackers, I think those guys are they're so good together. I think they're, you know, putting themselves up to be one of the best linebacking duos in the league. I think one of their weak spots, though, at this point is their nickelback. So they had Jimmy Ward last year. They had Kaywan Williams before that. It's going to be a new guy this year. And Isaiah Oliver is, I think, the guy that they will probably have in there. But he has kind of fluctuated how good he's played in practice and in preseason games. But after the last one, Kyle Shanahan said they're very pleased with him. But if they don't go with him, then there's kind of this big question. Diamador Lenore has been playing well at cornerback on the outside, but do you take a young cornerback who's just getting his confidence up and move him to the inside to a new position? I don't know. I think that's what they've talked about as an option. I just don't know if that's great for a young player's confidence. So I think that's their question mark on defense.
First game is on the road at Pittsburgh, which is a fun place to start. That's coming up in week number one. What else stands out about the schedule as they run through the first 8 weeks without a break?
The first 3 weeks are going to be tough, because the week one is Pittsburgh Steelers. Week two is the Los Angeles Rams. And while, you know, they may be in kind of a rebuilding or up, you know, trying to get better, the fact that what I mentioned with that nickel position being in question and facing Cooper Kupp could be a big deal. And then right after that, in week three, is a Thursday night game against the New York Giants. That's their home opener on a Thursday night. So it's three really tough games right back to back. And, you know, they get that mini bye after that Thursday game. But I think going from the Rams to the New York Giants on a Thursday, that's a tough three-game stretch to open up the season.
And the first two being on the road, even though LA is not that far away still. Your first two are away from your own stadium, as you point out, a home opener on a Thursday. Though a lot of excitement, should be a lot of buzz. So then, are you ready, Jennifer?
I mean, I guess as ready as I can be, right? I mean, it's coming whether we want it to or not. So it will be good to see games that count and to see, you know, what happens to this roster on Tuesday, cut down day, and then will they get Nick Bosa signed and how soon does it get it done? Do they get it done? So lots of news still happening, and they continue to be just an interesting team to cover.
Oh, yeah. Never a dull moment. And it's crazy that this team, with its questions and its, I don't want to call it drama all the time, but plenty to talk about, it's still been to back-to-back NFC championship games.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, they're going to be contenders, but it's not without some, you know, some ups and downs and some roller coaster rides along the way.
Yes. All right, so we're getting set. You can find Jennifer on Twitter at Jennifer Lee Chan. Covers the Niners, one of our faves to have here on the show from NBC Sports Bay Area. And we'll, of course, talk to you again. But let's hope it's not about quarterback, Jennifer.
Sounds good, Amy. Thanks so much for having me on.
There is an exception to every rule. And for the San Francisco 49ers, who've had as many quarterbacks as the Commanders, the Colts, the Panthers, think about the revolving door for the Niners at QB in the Bay Area since Shanahan and Lynch arrived on their white horses into town. And yet, they've still been a winning franchise and back-to-back NFC championships. NFC Championship games, I should clarify. Remember, they lost to the Rams 2 years ago and then lost to the Eagles this past year. But they used four quarterbacks this past season. It defies logic. It defies the odds, if you will. Oh, did someone say odds? Uh-huh. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. There are now photos up on Facebook as well. A little bit of a kayaking excursion this weekend on the Susquehanna River in rural central Pennsylvania. Oh my goodness, as we were driving out to the site where we would put in the kayaks, we kept having to drive around the Amish horse and buggy, which of course I love the horses. And then the horses doing work, the donkeys that were out in the fields. Yeah, this was Amish farm country, going back to the days when I was in college and was in this same area. So find them on our Facebook page, also on Twitter, A-Law Radio. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Second and goal for the Texans, moving right to left towards Poydras. Under center is Stroud. Pierce, the lone back. Play action. Stroud to throw. Throws to the end zone. That is complete to number 12, Nico Collins, for the touchdown on the near side.
CJ will be our week one starter in Baltimore. It's been over the course of the entire process of OTAs, training camp, preseason games, just seeing the complete product and knowing, you know, CJ's desire to continue to get better. We know we're not where we need to be as a team overall. We all have to continue to get better. And it's just having the mindset to do that. And CJ, just along with all our other guys, know that we have to get better in that regard.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
We now have a third rookie who will be starting this season, week number one. And I know it's not a huge surprise, but D'Amico Ryans confirms after the Texans' final preseason game that yes, in fact, and that was earlier on Sunday night, yes, in fact, it will be C.J. Stroud, who was drafted number two overall by Houston behind Bryce Young, who we know is starting for the Panthers, and number four overall pick, Anthony Richardson, starting for the Colts. Okay, welcome to the NFL, you rooks. Rookie quarterbacks giveth and they taketh away. Just be ready for the wild ride. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Photos up on Facebook, photos up on Twitter, A-Law Radio. If you missed the story about how I welcomed a new dog into my home, you're going to have to go back to the podcast, the very first segment of the show. It will make you laugh out loud, I promise. Maybe I shouldn't be quite so generous. Before we get to the bottom of the hour, though, I have a question for producer Jay, because we are now 10 days away from the start of the NFL season. I have not heard you mention Survivor Island. What is happening there? Oh, the reaction that I just got on Jay's face, because it's clear that he had not thought about it recently.
No, but all I got to do is just go to the page and activate it. So I'll do that when I get home today. Then it'll be ready to rock.
Let's go. Let's get that ready, because people have been asking. Survivor Island, year number, oh gosh, I don't even know, year number 8 now, maybe?
I feel like it's 9 or 10, actually.
I don't think it would be, unless I'm wrong, unless we did start it the very first season that I did this schedule, which is 5 nights a week. Maybe, it could be. It definitely could be year number 9. 10, I would feel like I'm losing my mind.
I think it's 9.
It definitely could be year number 9. And in the past, we've needed 2 different islands. Every single year, we have people who are eliminated in the first week because they either don't know what they're doing, can't follow instructions, didn't register right, didn't save their picks. That's a big one. Didn't save their picks, or just simply forgot to make their picks. So we're asking you to join us on Survivor Island. We will not make you walk the plank if you take care of your business. So all you got to do is go to the email that you would have signed up with. If it's not your regular email, though a lot of people use their same email, open up the link in your email, because the system will automatically generate an email. It's on the CBS Sports website. We're trying to be company proud. You just open up the link on the email and join. It's not all that difficult. You're already pre-registered. Now, if you're brand new, and we recognize there are a lot of people who listen to our show now when they didn't a year ago football season, or maybe you just never had the boldness, the courage, the sense of adventure to join us, it's time. Stop putting it off. Stop putting off tomorrow what you can do today. Oh my goodness, Isaac, who used to work here on the show, he would sign up and then he would forget every single year to make his picks and would be eliminated in week number 1. Here's the deal. If you try it ahead of time, then you'll know if it's working, if it's not working. You can always go back and change your pick if you want to. Survivor Island rules. 1 winner each week. You survive if your team wins. There's no spread. There's no odds. You just pick. Don't get too cute. That's the only guideline I would give you. Don't get too cute, because you just need to survive, first of all. Don't decide to save a team for a later week. Get the most dominant matchup, the most lopsided matchup you can find, and pick that team to win. I'll tell you what, I've never been past week 6. I have never survived past week 6. The winner gets after hours swag, courtesy of us. In fact, I will sign it and send it to you. After hours swag on the line. And if you don't know what the After Hours swag is, well, then you should go to the video on our YouTube channel and make sure that you see for yourself that it's incredibly cool and you cannot live without it.
All the cool kids are doing it.
See, even the voice god believes it. So on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, our Twitter, After Hours CBS, we will, coming up on Monday, post a link.
I'll have the link up to Survivor Island by the start of the show tomorrow night.
Okay. So coming up on Monday night, you will have no more excuses, unless, of course, you're fraidy cats. Come on. It's so goofy and ridiculous. A couple times I've been out in week number 2. Jay, how long did you survive last year?
2 weeks. I got eliminated in week 3.
Okay. So 2 real weeks. And then here's what happens. We make you swim with the sharks. That's it. It's. You'll have a good time, at least. You'll have a story to tell. Well, not really. We'll have a story to tell as we watch you swim with the sharks. But right now, we're putting chum in the water, baby, just to up the ante. So get your rear ends to the island. Again, the link will be on both Twitter and Facebook. We'll pin it to the top of each of those sites. We'll remind you every day between now and kickoff. Well, that's a lie, because I will not be here on Thursday night. I will not be here. I will be already be in Houston on Thursday night, all things going well. I'm not nearly as stressed about the travel this time, because Last time I had to stop in Dallas. This time I have a direct flight. It leaves from Newark. It gets to Houston. What more could you ask for? A direct flight, no checked baggage, and TSA pre-check. Where have you been all of my life? Have you just... Oh, no, Jay, don't do it. It's my Christmas present to you. That's it. It's the Christmas present.
It's
TSA pre-check.
Probably the nicest thing anyone's ever gotten.
Oh, of course it is. It absolutely is.
You can't live without it now.
No. Well, I've only used it twice, but it's a game changer, I'm telling
you. Instant game changer?
Yes, it is, especially with at least one very long flight coming up. We're excited about that. And then potentially international next year, though we'll see what happens. Yeah, Bob is already working on his passport because it expired. What about yours? Has yours expired?
No, I have a legit passport.
Has a legit one, too. It just is expired.
It's not expired, mine. It's what I meant.
But it's true. You guys go on international vacations all the time. So, yes, Bob has to work on his passport, and we're planning some pretty fun trips in the near future, including the honeymoon, which won't take place until next April, late April, early May. Don't ask me. I'm not telling you yet. It's a surprise. But no doubt there'll be pictures and blog posts from that incredible trip. So we're doing a couple of big trips coming up, and I've said to him, you better have TSA pre-check or I'm going on without you.
I'll meet you at the security.
I'll be at the gate. And if you're not at the gate, well, then I'll see you at our destination.
Oh, no. Poor Bob.
No, not poor Bob. He's had plenty of warning. Now, he tells me through some particular professional organization that he's part of, TSA PreCheck is included in it. He tells me that. He's not going to sign up. He's not going to pay. He tells me that it's included in this membership of his professional organization. So if that's the case and we show up at the airport, it better work. If it doesn't, guess what?
See ya.
I'll see you down the road at the gate. Enjoy yourself.
Doesn't he got to get that code though, right? The personal code to enter?
I thought so too, except that he tells me he's confirmed it with his professional organization and that he does not need to go through the TSA process, which is funny because I had to have an interview. I had to get fingerprinted, but he says he's already done that as part of this membership. And so there is no need for him to repeat or to pay. Now, it's extremely cheap right now. It's 4 years, I believe, for under $80. So I'd highly recommend it. Yes, I will be putting it to good use over the Labor Day weekend, an extended Labor Day weekend. So I will not be with you on Thursday night or next Sunday or Monday nights, which would take us into Tuesday morning. This is my last bit of time off until Thanksgiving. So don't slight me. Don't yell at me. Don't try to tell me I take too much time off. Hell to the no. I have not another day off until Thanksgiving week. So I don't want to hear it from you all.
Don't slight me.
Don't slight me. Do you hear me? We need to have Jason back on the show. That was so much fun. Coach Jason Brown, right? We need to have him on the show. If you have not heard our conversation with Jason Brown, who was of Last Chance U on Netflix, he's a star in his own mind, but also he is a character. We didn't have to bleep out any of his choice words, but he was very careful not to use choice words.
I follow him on Twitter. Yeah.
Heavens. I had to, don't tell him this, but I had to mute him on Twitter because I cannot be seeing those kinds of words on my feed. Oh my goodness. Yes. So make sure you are ready for Survivor Island. I would say start to warm up, make some practice picks. Be sure to save your picks. Get all the kinks out. It's like preseason, peeps. Get all your kinks out before we get to week number one, because then we have no mercy for you. If you do not make your pick, you don't save your pick, somehow you're not registered correctly. Too bad, so sad. You get what you get and you don't get upset because we gave you plenty of warning. Survivor Island.
I'm already nervous.
You should be. All right, coming up. So producer Jay promises. Coming up, we've got a trio of pretty incredible athletes who are a little more off the beaten path, if you will. So we love to, especially on Sunday nights, into Monday mornings, drop on you some of the biggest events of the weekend that did not come from the four major team sports. And this weekend was easy pickings. Straight ahead. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. On Twitter, on Facebook, on YouTube. I mean, it's exhausting, really.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Once upon a time, a few mistakes ago, I was in your sight.
Yedlin gets away from Burke, finds Messi. Robinson leans, Busquets over to Jordi Alba. What a touch! Messi to his right. He keeps it on his left, of course. Oh, what a ball to Tomaski!
Oh!
And to Messi! He could not leave New York without a goal. First official Major League Soccer goal seals 3 points for Inter Miami.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I haven't been able to stop watching the Messi highlight from him setting up his own goal. Oh my gosh, it's insanity. So he's in the middle of four different defenders. There are four defenders in front of him. He splits the defenders with a pass that somehow threads the needle, gets right between two of the defenders. This is after he controls the ball and brings it down. It's an angle out to the right where he's got a fellow striker who's coming in who just gives him a touch pass right back because Messi follows the ball through the line of defenders. And by the time he gets down into the keeper's box, into the goalie box, not only have the defenders completely missed him, the goalie has rushed out to what was his left, but the right of the goal, and has trying to close in on the guy who's got the ball, only to watch the touch pass go by him where Messi is standing, and I mean all alone, as in all alone. He didn't even bother to kick it. He just let it bounce off his foot into the back of the goal. It was a lefty goal, if you will. I mean, it's insane. He controls it, he threads it through two defenders, and then he follows the pass. Essentially, you know what it is? It's a give and go. In basketball, it's a give and go. Absolutely brilliant.
That touch pass might be the nicest pass I think I've ever seen on a soccer
field. Gosh.
It's possible.
This is after he controls it and does essentially a 180 to keep it away from the four defenders. But there are four defenders. They probably think, oh, we got him this time. We've got him surrounded. And the ball just leaks right through two defenders at this crazy angle, which, by the way, was also left foot. Left foot, angled pass out to the right. And then he follows it through, and for some ridiculous reason, not one of the defenders follows him. Why? Why? Do you not know by now that he follows his own shot, or in this case, follows his own pass? I can't get over the fact that they lose him that easily. It happens time and time again. They lose track of Messi. What are you doing?
I think, like, the pass, they're just in awe of how good he is. Like, how did he make that pass? Oh, he's already gone. It's
unfair is what it is. And we've been telling you this since Messi joined Inter Miami CF. It's not fair. It's not a fair fight. Stop the fight. No, they have not lost. And now this is the first official MLS game. So the others have all been Leagues Cups, Champions Cups, blah, la 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 la. This is an actual MLS game, and it affects the standings. And remember, when he got to Miami, they were the worst team in MLS. Safe to say they're now the hottest ticket and the hottest team in the sport. The call there on Apple TV, because it's just not fair. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Simone Biles, 8 for 8, baby. She is the eighth straight. I don't know if it's 8 straight. I'm going to have to go back and look. But she's now 8 for 8, meaning she has won every single USA gymnastics competition that she has entered. She is the all-around champion, an 8th time in her career.
I hit 8 for 8. That was my expectations going into the night, so I'm very proud of myself for that. Proud of WCC, how we kind of came out here and finished strong. So I have nothing else to say. Whatever y'all want to ask.
I have nothing else to say. Oh, there's so much more to say. Also, we're sorry for the audio. For some reason, it's off mic. Whoever posted it to the YouTube channel used a recording as opposed to the actual sound coming from the microphone. So sorry about that. She called it a fever dream. She's in a fever dream. And remember everything, or even some of the challenges, the adversities she's been through in her career. She was part of the Larry Nassar scandal. She was one of the young women who dealt with the physical abuse of Larry Nassar. She's had time away when she needed to make sure her head was on straight, right? When she needed to take care of her mental health. But she did a whole lot of smiling during this USA Gymnastics competition that was taking place in San Jose. She looked happy, brilliant, in control, confident. And even though she says it doesn't feel real for some reason, it absolutely is. One of the best gymnasts that the United States has ever produced. Right? She is 26 years old. She's a newlywed. And even as recently as 6 months ago, wasn't sure she even wanted to compete in the USA championships again. I thought this was interesting too. 3 weeks ago, she talked about how she got back to competing in Chicago. But every time she got out there to salute the judges before she would do a routine, she felt like she was going to throw up. This is Simone Biles. She's won at the Olympics. She's won at the World Championship. She's won on every stage in her sport. And yet at 26 years old, and this is old for a gymnast, right? She felt like she was going to throw up every time she started a routine. But she also understands the value of being happy now, the value of being fulfilled and content and having peace and joy in your personal life.
First of all, y'all are kind of nosy sometimes, but I think personal goals and stuff, I think sometimes it's okay to keep it to ourselves just so that nobody can throw it in your face, oh, well, this was your goal, this, and you didn't hit it, or you did, or any of that stuff, and I'm kind of at the age where it's like, yo, just let me be in peace, so one thing at a time.
But now we know it was a personal goal to go 8 for 8. She's the oldest woman to win a national gymnastics title since the event was first organized back in the early 60s. Again, 26 years old is considered over the hill for a gymnast. But she now has 8 national titles. And she is still the queen of the sport. Her dominance and what she survived reminds me a lot of Serena Williams. Though, of course, ages are completely different. And Serena was in her sport and at the top of her sport for a lot longer. You age differently in gymnastics than you do in tennis.
I'm still super young.
I love it. I love that Simone Biles is flashing that beautiful smile of hers yet again. So congratulations to her. Now, coming up after the top of the hour, I mentioned a trio of athletes who are making headlines. If you don't know the story of Victor Hovland, it's pretty incredible. First of all, he did not start playing golf until he was a preteen. Second of all, he grew up in Oslo, Norway, which, you know, let's be fair, is not a golf hotbed. Also, they do a lot more hockey than they do outdoors. Well, they play hockey outdoors, but a lot more of the winter sports, the skiing, the ski jumping, the hockey, not so much the golf. And yet, he's won in 2 consecutive weeks. Back-to-back tournaments, $18 million as the tour champion. He competed in college at Oklahoma State. Still lives in Stillwater. Wait until you hear what he has to say about the amount of money that he just earned as the tour champion and the FedEx Cup playoff champ. Halfway through, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.